We ask that everybody silence all your cell. Give everybody a second to do that, and then we always like to start our meetings with a Pledge of Allegiance. We can stand and do that now.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, in liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So I want to make sure we establish that we do in fact have a quorum today. And our voting rules are that our four regular members are voting members along with one associate on a rotating basis. So today's voting members shall be Mr. Intermill, Mr. Shonas, Mr. Carlson, Mr. Thurber, and the chair, Mr. Curry. With that, we can start with the report items.
Mark Gebhardt, Development Services, actually now Planning Community Development, as you know. You have one item today for hearing. At present, we don't have any items for your August meeting. There's been discussion of one that may be submitted. And as you're aware, Board of Adjustment items come to a process fairly quickly. So right now it doesn't look like you'll have an August meeting, but there's a slight possibility of it. A couple department reports. First of all, your presenter today, Lynn Kendall, who you will be meeting, is a new staff member working front counter in these types of applications. And we now have legal representation. And second of all, another new member, if you'd stand up, Lynn, first. Two new staff members. Gabe handles front counter and will be doing projects. And Tommy is the new engineer in the department. So that
Welcome.
More staffed is a part, almost full staffed, and we're interviewing for a code enforcement officer today, but on planners and engineers, we're essentially fully staffed. I wanted to make sure you're aware, and it's just an item of interest in the community. Doesn't really have to do with the Board of Adjustment per se, but the county commissioners right now, I think if we didn't mess up the scheduling, is going to have a work session next Tuesday or the 18th on tiny homes and potentially developing regulations at the county level regarding tiny homes. You haven't had any of those what's called tiny homes come before you. We've had a couple that have gone through the Planning Commission and Board of Commissioners, and this is a work session to get some ideas about whether there should be some regulations in the Land Development Code and the Zoning Code to allow categories of tiny homes. As you may be aware, most of them are built on an RV chassis and an RV status and are not the same as a building code and not the same as a mobile home. And so then the zoning questions become, where should those be allowed and should there be specific regulations to implement tiny home communities per se. I would note for your reference, and it doesn't really apply to any of your applications yet, the department has implemented a publicly available review information system on all applications that we have in process. It's called EDARP. There's access to it on our webpage. For those that carry over for the Planning Commission, or for someone like Jerry, who's probably real excited about the system, or Wayne may be submittal, it's a system that allows projects to be submitted through us electronically, uploaded in, and then made available. All the aspects of that project are then made available to the public. And that's an important issue relative to transparency and potential public input. So once a project is in that system and uploaded, any citizen can go to our webpage and click on, for example, they could click on a name, a home builder type name, and I don't mean to pick on you, Wayne, they could pick on, they could enter High Point Homes and see any file we have in our records on High Point Homes that may have made an application, or they can click on Board of Adjustment 2017 and see any applications that are in process and all the information relative to those applications, including information that was submitted to us, all review agency comments, staff reports, legal publication, and everything. So it's an effort in the department to achieve a transparency and have all that information publicly available. It's brand new, just started out. I would encourage you not to look at that in advance necessarily of an application that's in front of you. It's more if an application is in your neighborhood and you know it's going to a hearing, you as a citizen can go in and find all the information about that application.
Is that part of the, have they instituted that with the Regional Building Department as well? Or?
It was developed in conjunction with Regional Building Department. Mm-hmm. It has a search function by parcel number, and it will also bring in all county records dating back into the 40s,
wow,
potentially into the system. Right now, internally, we have various programs that we can look at all our records. We have both paper records and electronic. So we can look at all ours if you know how to search it, but the public can't get to that. What we're touting it really is a great benefit is if a developer is doing a drainage report for Meridian Ranch filing 28 and needs to see Meridian Ranch 1 through 27 drainage report, they can go into that program and find all those final drainage reports for all previous filings and see how this fits into it. That would conclude my report items.
Any questions for staff?
Mr. Hannigan? Mark, did the circumstance of a lack of direction on tiny homes, did that have anything to do with the Jamboree moving to Texas from Colorado Springs?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
The Jamboree's public statement was we outgrew the facilities.
Right.
When they were on Northgate Road at the Mining Museum, they certainly outgrew the facilities and then went over to the Air Force Academy. There are several tiny home builders here in town,
right,
in the county jurisdiction out in Cimarron Hills. We toured one of those facilities to see how they're built, et cetera. There'll be some challenges in that discussion because historically communities, including the county, have not allowed RVs to be permanent dwelling units.
Right.
And many of the tiny homes are built into an RV standard. Is that good enough to be a permanent dwelling unit? And that'll be a lot of the discussion.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Okay, thank you. And yes.
Please give the new guys a chance to excel. It's their first time in this kind of a presentation format here. And so we'll see how that all goes.
As in grill them? No, I'm just kidding. Thank you. And I was remiss in, I mentioned our voting members. I was remiss in noting that we also have two other associate members who will not be voting today, Mr. Hannigan and Ms. Davies. And they will participate in any discussion that they like, ask any questions. They simply don't vote on matters. With that, we will move to the minutes. Have all the members had an opportunity to review the minutes from last time? Seeing nods, any changes that are needed that have not been already incorporated? Seeing none, we will deem the minutes of the regular meeting on 10 May adopted. So for those of you in the audience, the way we'll work today is we'll have the staff come up and introduce the petitioner. Afterwards, the petitioner come up and make a presentation. following that president and the staff, the board may ask questions at those times. I'd ask that the board members just be, wait to be recognized and then ask questions. After the petitioner is complete, we'll see if there's any audience members who wish to speak in favor, then find if there are any who wish to speak against. Then the petitioner has an opportunity to come up and make any closing comments or rebuttals. Then the board will have discussion and we'll take a vote. For anybody that comes up, I do ask you, make sure you please sign in for the record and just put your name there so that we have that for our official records. So with that, I'd like to call for our first regular item, rear yard setback dimensional variance, agenda item number four, it's BOA-17-002 on Magistrelli Cabins. So Mr. Kendall, would you like to come up and make an introduction, please?
Good morning, commissioners. Very nice to meet you all. I'm Len Kendall, Planner One, Project Manager. I'm here to introduce our team. So Tommy Hoff was the engineer on this. We have here today is Karen Magistrelli. She's the applicant, and as well as Lori Seigo for the legal standards on which we're putting this for. So, Lori.
Do you have a slide or something for me?
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, board members. I can't remember if we've had a meeting since we started this new practice, but the Board of County Commissioners requested that legal staff review the standards of review for the land use applications that come before them, and so we've begun to apply that practice to both Planning Commission and BOA hearings. So I'm just going to briefly review the standards for you to consider when you are hearing this request today in terms of whether or not to approve or deny it. And your land development code, which is based on state statute, provides that the Board of Adjustment can grant variances from the strict application of any physical requirement of the code, so height restrictions, setbacks, etc., based upon equitable consideration, if you find that the burdens of strict compliance with the requirement significantly exceeds the benefit of such compliance for this particular piece of property. So that's your first finding. You also have to find one of the following, that the variance only provides temporary relief, that it includes an alternative plan that mitigates any anticipated impacts for granting the variance, or if you find that there is some other unique or equitable consideration that compels that strict compliance with the applicable standard not be required. All right, I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Seigo?
No, thank you.
No? Thank you. Okay.
So as I mentioned, this is a magistrally rear yard setback dimensional variance. What the applicant is requesting is the approval of a dimensional variance to allow a rear yard setback of 8.8 feet for an existing cabin where 25 feet is required by the El Paso County Land Development Code. As you can see in the slide, the finished existing cabin, it has an existing setback of 8.8 feet. We just went over these. The unique and equitable consideration compels strict compliance not be required. So what we're looking at today is the approval of the request may be based on the criterion of unique or equitable consideration. These cabins were built in 1954. Zoning was established in this area December 2nd, 1962. The existing of three cabins on the property as it was a non-conforming use circumstance until they were abandoned for more than 1 year time period. Site plan approval in 2016 provided that a single cabin be used on site as the single family residence in the existing location, which is not in the setback. It's only 8.8 feet as opposed to 25 feet away. The zoning information in this part of the county, it is all zoned A5, agricultural 5 acre. There is a 25-foot setback surrounding all of the property. As you can see on this slide, 2nd Street and Francis Avenue have been vacated which were used to create this one parcel. Once again, we look at the code for section 5.52B2A, variance to physical requirements. This is an aerial shot of the site. And what I came to was our non-conforming analysis and section 5.63A, damage to the structure. As I mentioned, these cabins were built in 1954. They have been there since. They have gone through abandonment and had some damage occur to them over the years. In 2016, there was an addition request that was approved by our staff to allow for up to 50% of the assessed value to be restored to. That reads, a non-conforming structure damaged or partially destroyed by fire, explosion, or natural occurrence may be restored to the condition in which it was immediately prior to the occurrence of the damage or destruction, provided the value of the damage is less than 50% of the county assessor's assessed value of the improvements damaged, the restoration or reconstruction does not extend beyond the original limits of the structure and setback, lot area coverage, height, floor area, and number of bedrooms or bathrooms, and all restoration or reconstruction started within 1 year from the date of the damage and is completed within 2 years. As I mentioned, or as I didn't mention, the Board of Adjustment is needed due to a loss of legal non-conforming status that I will go over in a few moments. So this is the existing condition of the property. As you can see, that's the setback, which is 8.8 feet, which abuts the rear yard into the national forest area. As you can see, it's under construction, and it has, based on our knowledge, exceeded the 50% damage restoration amount. We have alternatives here, which is to physically move the cabin, lift it up and move it to a portion of the property, which would be 25 feet away. That would require clearing of a significant number of established mature trees. The applicant could demolish the structure and rebuild it in a location that complies with the setbacks, and or they can purchase enough land from the National Forest to and pursue a boundary line adjustment to add the land required to meet the 25-foot setback. So a condition of approval on this application would be that it only applies to cabin C on the site plan, which is right here. As you can see, cabin C is the one that is within the setback. So that would be the only condition, would be to make sure that this only applies to that cabin based on the submittals from the applicant. We notified two abutting property owners, Pike National Forest and David and Anna Mae Vaith. They sent a letter of opposition. I believe you have that. I passed that out and made copies earlier today. They actually also sent a second letter based on both of our notifications. Engineering found no problems with this engineering-wise. If you have any questions engineering-wise, Tommy is here to address those questions. And if you have any questions, fire away.
Board members, have any questions for staff?
Chair, if I may.
Yes.
How far is this structure from the each side property line?
The east side?
Each.
Oh.
Approximately.
It is 8.8 feet from the rear setback. I believe it's probably close to 100 feet from each of the other setbacks is my estimate.
Okay.
That was the only setback that we are aware of being encroaching.
And the residents that responded are the ones across the street there, is that right?
Across
Third Street?
They are here. Here and here, they own all three of these properties.
I see.
And then this is applicant's land.
Can you give us a little more detail on what actually happened here in the last couple of years? It's been 10 years.
So it was, as I mentioned, there was three cabins. Two of them, as shown in this, the survey, one will be, I think, used as storage going forward. They are basically just accessory buildings at this point. They are not in great shape. This cabin was allowed under the code to be the single-family home, since there's allowed one dwelling allowed per parcel. So this was the de facto dwelling. Because it was within the setback, they were allowed to move forward as a legal non-conforming as long as they didn't restore the structure beyond 50% of the county assessor's assessed value of the damage. That was a condition on the there was an addition application that they brought in 2016, and that was a condition on that application that was approved for them to build up to that point, and it has subsequently gone beyond that 50%, which is what is requiring the Board of Adjustment hearing.
However, they knew this back in 2016, that they couldn't go over 50% of the value?
I believe that was a condition on the addition site plan approval that was done back then. That's what I've been told.
Did A&E do this plan? I mean, who made this? Who designed this?
This survey?
No, not the survey, the structure that we're talking about, the building C. Was there an A&E who did this, or is this on your own fruition?
I do not know that that answer.
Okay, cool. And then the second one that was occurring to me is, how much over this 50% are we talking about? Do we have an idea?
There was photographs from the 2016 approval. We were not able to find those. They have been lost in the shuffle or somewhere. But I think based on the fact that it's still under construction and the exterior is not quite finished yet, that it's been shown to us to be beyond that 50% to keep it legal nonconforming.
Okay, so let me rephrase this. So back in 2016, let's say the structure was assessed at $10,000. And so now we're saying that it's beyond 15, way beyond, or how much?
I don't know the exact numbers on what it was or what it. I believe 50%.
Who makes that determination?
I believe the assessor.
And do we have numbers on that?
We would have to go to the 2016. I think there should be. I don't have any information on the numbers.
Any other board members wish to be recognized to ask staff questions at this stage?
If I may.
Ms. Carlson.
I guess, again, I'm wondering who identified that it's over half the value? I mean, that's the reason we're here, right?
Correct.
So did the assessors walk around and check that out? Did someone report that they thought there was more work going on than they thought should be going on, or do we know any of that?
I believe it's been kind of just around there. I believe that it's just going.
Or did the applicant realize they were spending that much more than that, and they needed to approval?
I think that has been part of it. I believe that we've been pursuing another application for this piece of land. And I think that has come up in previous early assistance meetings.
Okay. Well, maybe we should hear from the applicant then.
Right. Ms. Davies?
Kind of a follow-up question. Do we know the cost of the land to purchase additional land, which is a condition that can be set, and if that is available from the Forestry Department?
I don't know the value of the land purchased. We've notified the National Forest. They did not respond. They had no comment.
Has the applicant looked at that possibility as it's an option?
I believe that might be the first they've been here. Have you?
We'll have an opportunity. I think we'll have an opportunity to ask the applicant that when they come up on the options. Anybody else wish to? Ms. Davies, I don't think you were finished yet.
And please. Do we have any indication of what the Vath family deems the harm in granting the variance? The letter says they oppose it, but it doesn't give a specific grounds other than adherence to code.
All we have is that letter. They have not contacted us by phone. It just they believe that the rules should be followed, essentially.
But they've not identified specific harm to them?
No.
Anyone else wish to be recognized to talk with staff? I'm going to ask, I think this is important because several of the board members have some concerns here relative to the actual value is, you know, if this is, you know, 50% and a penny, it makes a difference versus 150%. So if staff can locate that 2016 site plan and look, find out that was a condition and also find any information relative to the actual value that we're talking about, I think it'll be very useful to these discussions. So if it's possible for staff to do that while the applicant's making a presentation, I think we'd be grateful.
Okay.
Any other questions for staff at this point? I'd like to invite the petitioner up, Ms. Magistrelli.
Hello. Hi.
Thank you.
This has been quite a family project, so I would like to introduce my husband, Bob Magistrelli, and my daughter, Dana, and new grandson, Tobias. So this has been quite an effort, and I have all this presentation prepared, but I'd like to begin with the question that we were just left with. And I have here, there was no, when we started the remodel, I have here the paper, and you probably saw it in your paperwork, the approval for our permit to remodel this. And on the, stamped on the plan that went to regional building was this note, and it's a little hard to read, but I'll give it to you later and you can verify. But it's this is from Nina, so she's not here today. So you may have a little, there's a question because this 50% issue was not brought up to us. The issue was, because this was the only established residence, and this is what this says. So here, let me read this. Well, here it says approved. interior remodel of structure one approved by Nina. Then, merger, somebody has better eyesight than I do. Complete. Basically, I typed it up. And it, basically, it's saying, if somebody wants to look at this, maybe you could interpret it better than I am, but it's saying that you may go ahead and fix up this cabin, but the other two cabins cannot be fixed up without a special use permit, as defining it as a recreation camp. And I, if somebody wants to just verify what I'm saying, it is readable, but they could not pull it up when I met with Nina at the front desk. She says, I can't read this. So I went home and photocopied what is on ours. So it's kind of their word against ours, except for this note.
Let's
on
see.
The plan.
So can, yeah, if you can, please. If you can, can we get the overhead? If you can have her just put that right down next to the mouse there, and if we can get the overhead, and then if you look on the screen and above you should be able to see. So if you now if you'll pull that back, she'll take care of that. If you can slide that to the right a little bit, and then if we get our staff to, if you could move that keyboard cord, we'd be grateful. And then if staff can sort of zoom in on that for us, and then when you're finished, if you could provide that to our secretary, we can make that part of the official record. Can you zoom in the back there and move closer?
This is the note up here.
Merger. Thank you. it's not readable there, but if anyway, you could provide that to the secretary,
okay,
that would be great.
I did type it up, but I left it at home.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet you can. It is readable after a fashion, but I'm too nervous. And old-fashioned as I am, it's paper. So, I guess I could, but something that you, the vote goes voting. Maybe you could share this one.
Sure.
I don't know if you're going to get that. Well,
and if you have a copy as well, we can put it on the overhead.
Oh, perfect.
That'll do.
I didn't even need to make all those copies, then, did I?
Can we get the overhead again, please?
There it is, right on the screen.
There you go. So what you see on the screen is what we see. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, our dream regarding this property began over 30 years ago when we built our family home across the street. And the property was in pretty bad shape. There were abandoned cars and trucks, an old Jeep. There were trailer homes. There were the three cabins, and a bunch of vandals destroyed whatever had value. Homeless people would stay there and leave their trash behind. There were even satanic gangs that appeared to be doing their rituals there. It was our dream to clean this up, restore some value to the neighborhood. This was quite an eyesore. Now, I'm going to try to avoid going into too much detail. My kids tell me I do too much detail. So I'm going to try to hit just the high points of what's happening here. This was a property, this was the cabin as it looked when we purchased the property. And we are quite proud of what we've been able to do in the work we have done to bring it into something that is livable. And we're hopeful that you will allow us to keep what we have done here. Now, as you noticed, the county gave us three options of what we could do with the cabin. And I am hoping that we don't have to go to any of those three alternatives. I'm hoping that you will support our right to keep this cabin where it exists. But the first alternative was to move it. And the problem with moving it is that it'd be prohibitive in cost. I've been researching this, I got a lot of detail, you don't want to know all of it, but it would be extremely expensive. Also, we don't know that it could survive. It's a 64-year-old cabin. We don't know what would be the result of the gamble of trying to move it. And then here shows the natural vegetation that we would have to cut into. And in our area, when you take out the natural vegetation, what grows back in is noxious weeds, and it's hard to get this over here, to get that vegetation growing again. The third alternative was to purchase land from the National Forest. So I contacted Jeff Hovermail, and he's our local district ranger. And here's his quote. The U.S. Forest Service does not have authority to sell National Forest System lands, and this need would not qualify for a land exchange. So that option is out. And the third, the second option was to tear it down, demolish it. And here's how far we have gotten in our remodel. The drywall, it's ready to texture. You see the wood's tongue and groove ceiling, recessed lighting. We've passed the electrical, you see the all the electrical working. It'd be an awfully sad thing to have to demolish it after all this work. And I understand that your thinking is based on what we should never have improved it to this point. But that is, we were in a meeting with Nina, and she said, when she approved this, she says, and I don't even, Len wasn't even here at the time. And she says, oh, you've improving it over 50%, but we'll just let this one go. We'll deal with the others. None of you at that meeting. So none of you could know that that was, you know, you weren't there. So it's my word against theirs. But if you can read what's on the, are you able to read that?
I wrote it, and she has it.
Perfect. Perfect. So we can get back to that. But it'd be a shame to have to destroy this. Oh, let me do this. All right.
So if you'd like, you can read this into the record, or I will.
Perfect, thank you.
We have recording the audio as our official minutes.
This is very helpful. Nina, planner, 7/20/16. Merger complete and vacation complete. This home will be considered the primary residence and the rest as non-conforming and may not be improved by more than 50% or expanded, and the footprint will not be expanded. So that 50% is relative to the other cabins, except our plan is to do something different with a special use permit. Any questions on that? The other cabins cannot be improved more than 50%. Okay.
Do you read it that way?
I'm sorry, say again, anybody?
Can you leave
Mr.
that
Ingermill?
Up? Yeah, could you leave that up?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm going to
read it.
And for the same reason I just mentioned that our official record is the recording of the meeting, and so I would remind the board members to please be recognized prior so that we know who's speaking on the audio. So are there questions or discussion on this? At the moment, I mean, we can come back to
Mr.
it.
Chair.
I'll give you a chance to read it. Yes, Mr. Shonas.
Steve. So while we're here on this slide right here looking at this, I don't necessarily interpret that it includes all the buildings on our property. I interpret it as the one that's in question. I mean, you know, so if you could clear that up for me, I'd appreciate it.
So you're saying that this is saying that none of them should be expanded over, or should be improved more than 50%. We haven't changed the footprint of the cabin. But you're saying that the
structure
improvements
doesn't improve.
I just know what she said in a meeting, that we'll let this go and I'll approve it. I can't. There are recordings, though, I think, of some of those meetings. But it was not at the early assistance meeting. It was way back a year ago when we got this approved. So, sorry.
Very good.
Very sorry. Because if it hinges on that.
Ms. Davies?
So I'm reading it, I think, similar, that this applies only to cabin A, and A should not exceed 50%, and the other structures will not be included. That's how I'm reading it.
We would not have gone through all the expense of a building permit and have it all approved if, in fact, here's what she stamped on the site plan, that the interior remodel of structure one approved. Get your building permit. A building permit would not allow us to live in a home that has no plumbing, the windows are broken out, the roof is collapsing. We couldn't get a building permit and come to that level of acceptance. She's saying, build it according to code. It's approved for a remodel. Again, yes. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
Do you have your estimations of what you've already spent on the renovations and the cost to continue, like what the total cost of the projects could entail?
I didn't even think it would be a question. I have not figured it up because I know between Nina and I what was stated. I know the intent of this, but I can see your question. I understand that. And it is a big question because we are no longer a non-conforming legal use. We gave that up when we decided our second petition, which you don't know anything about, is for a special use permit, which will allow us to have three cabins as a recreational camp, and we gave up the whole legal non-conforming use way back when. I have a email from Nina stating, we're not even dealing with legal non-conforming because you don't meet the qualifications. It's been abandoned for over years, so you don't qualify, and you're doing over 50%. She said, are you doing over 50%? I said, I fully believe we are. And she said, I was under the understanding that that's what we were trying to do. And she said, no, it's not going to work. So we gave that up a year ago, but none of you can, you know, I can see your question. But that, we don't fit. So that's why we are going to our next, and Len has the paperwork on that, trying to get a special use permit to allow three cabins as it has always had, well, for 60 years. So we gave up totally the legal nonconforming.
So what work is remaining on the cabin? What is left to be complete?
Putting up the cabinets that are sitting in one of the other cabins, and we have not finished our plumbing final. We have our rough and final, which has allowed us to do the drywall and all that. We've passed our PWO inspection, that's signed off. So we've come a long way. And I can understand Len's confusion because he wasn't here a year ago when we were working with Nina. So you're kind of caught between what happened last year and then Nina's on vacation. So, but there's still, and we're doing it slowly as funds are available. And we're doing, you know, we're not hiring outside people to do the work. My husband injured working on it, so things got slowed way down.
Anything else? I see Ms. Siegel has a comment.
Thank you. This appears to be on. I don't have an off switch, so hear grumblings over here intermittently, I apologize. I had an opportunity to speak about this application to Mr. Rebner. I have not yet had a chance to speak with Mr. Kendall, but I'd like to offer up my opinion of what is here before you for your consideration today, because in my mind there appeared to be a contradiction in the staff report. On the one hand, the staff report was saying that because these structures have not been used for more than a year, they've completely lost their legal non-conforming status. The other part of the staff report seemed to say that they are legal non-conforming, and because they are subject to the limitation in our code that says you can't repair more than 50% of the damages to a legal non-conforming structure. So after discussing this with Mr. Rebner and confirming that the record does reflect that these were abandoned for more than a year and thus completely lost their legal non-conforming status, it's my advice to you that the issue of the amount of repairs that are being done are not relevant, and that you can just dismiss that from your consideration. The issue now is that these are not legal non, this is not, this particular cabin, A or 1, is not a legal non-conforming structure. Therefore, it is required to meet the setback requirement, and because it does not, there is a request for a setback variance. In my mind, that is the issue, and any further discussion of value or how much repair is being done is not necessary.
And for clarity then, does approval of the variance also make it a legal conforming or a legal non-conforming? Is that part and parcel to the decision? or is this purely for the setback?
It would purely be for the setback, but if you grant the setback, then I believe it would simply become a conforming structure because you have granted that variance.
Okay.
And may I ask, would we have even had to go through this process, Mike, if we were under legal nonconforming? It was grandfathered in. So would we even be here today? Just a matter of question. I thought this is why we
came
today.
To resume the use of the cabin at all, whether you fix it up or not, you would have to go through this process.
But if it was legal nonconforming, if it was grandfathered in,
lost that status because it wasn't used for more than a year.
But if we had not, just curious.
If it had not, then you would not need to go through this process.
We wouldn't be here today.
Except that then the limitation on 50% of value would apply.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Total. Makes sense.
Any board members have questions for Ms. Segal? Ms. Magistrelli, please continue.
Thank you. Phew. Okay, if you look at page... Oh, well, I'm putting them up, aren't I? Okay, this is where we're at. I think there's... Excuse me, this kind of distracted me from my... Okay, I've gone through the three options, the three alternatives that they gave us. One, you could move it, which we can't. We wouldn't run that gamble. It's too uncertain whether it could survive too much damage to the terrain. That's why we bought the property, was to protect the neighborhood and protect the terrain. Second, can we buy National Forest land? No, we cannot. Third, demolish it. And we've come so far to have to just demolish what we've built. And so on this whole issue of demolishing it, when we were going through this process, we had every reason to believe that we could restore the cabin where it sits today. There was this confusion. And you can see it, that's between the legal nonconforming and then all that the process we're going through today. As we were working with the thought of legal nonconforming, we would not have had to come here today. We thought this was fine, it's all grandfathered in. So we had every assumption that we were just fine. We got approval to fix it up, we got our building permit, right where it sits, and we spent thousands of dollars and then got the word we're violating a regulation on easement. But there was no purposeful intent here to do anything inappropriate. We just didn't know. And by demolishing it, we're also destroying some of our cultural heritage. I have grandkids, you probably do too. And those cabins in our mountains are disappearing because it's too costly and too time-consuming to restore it. We know. And so I want to be able to protect some of that heritage by keeping this cabin rather than just demolishing it. And we're proud of the work we've done. I think it looks like quite a nice little home for somebody in the future. So to destroy it would be a huge loss, and it won't benefit anyone. Destroying that cabin that's been there 60 years won't help anyone. And even the neighbor, well, I'll address that in a minute, but she had nothing negative to say. There's no impact. It's been there 60 years, and it's looking a whole lot nicer than it used to. The trash is gone, and the cabin's cute. But there could be someone like the neighbor, and maybe they're kind of offended by, well, why do you get to sit in an easement and other people don't get to? That's kind of the tone of the letter, you know, follow the law. So in case there's this thought that we should pay a price for the problem of this misplacement of this cabin, I just kind of want to bring in that we have paid a big price. Our cost to get to this point, we've had to vacate roads. You see that in the in the information. We've vacated roads, we've merged properties, we've bought permits. That's $1,000 to appear before you today over that. We spent $8,000 to get to this point. So we're paying a price. And if the neighbor feels it, that gives her a little bit more sense of we're not just skirting the law. Maybe that helps a little. There was a letter of intent that was submitted to you, I think, in the original paperwork. And I'd like to go over three items on that. First off, there is some value in it having been there for 60 years as far as it's rooted there. I move it now and it's causing no problems. The second is there are no close neighbors. Our property boundary line is like 500 feet long. So from one end east to the west is pretty big distance. And you saw on the slide, the Vaiths, their house is a distance away. So it's having no significant impact. But I think the important thing is the people, the property owner that is impacted by this 8.8 foot setback is a national forest. And we have a letter from them stating they don't care. They have no regulation. And here's a picture of the National Forest. It goes on for hundreds of acres. We're crowding no one. Right there is a picture standing at our property line. There's no garage that we're, you know, getting too close, no house, no neighbor. And they don't care. And the third issue I'd like to kind of highlight is that there is a precedent for smaller setbacks. In Chapter 5 of the Land Development Code, there's a table, 5.4, and on footnote number 16, it says that in an RT zone, and we're not an RT zone, but an RT zone, as I am understanding, it has to do with more of a mountainous terrain. But the RT zone allows a 5-foot setback if the property is less than 5 acres, and ours is 3-something. So it isn't like, oh no, this is a huge issue. It isn't, we're in a zone that doesn't allow a 5-foot, but in a similar terrain, that zone would allow a 5-foot setback, side setback. So we're kind of in company with other similar regulations. Ours is an 8-foot setback, almost 9, where 5 in a different zone would be allowed. So here is a section 5. Oops. You have, they presented the conditions, the attorney did, of that need to be kind of need to be met in regulations for us to be approved. And I didn't totally understand them, so I kind of rewrote them into my language. And I may be wrong, so please bear with me and correct any mistakes I'm making. But the way I see the overall question is, a favorable ruling would be appropriate if the solution is worse than the problem. The solution of moving it, tearing it down, can't buy from the national. If the solution is worse than the problem, we need to maybe think this through. So, do we demolish our cabin, damage the terrain for decades to come, and destroy part of our cultural heritage, or leave the cabin where it's been rooted for over 60 years? Which option makes sense? So if we choose, leave it rooted where it's at, we have to meet one of, there are three conditions on the screen. One of them was short term. It's a short term variance. That's not relevant. But there are two others. And Len, you may want to correct me or Mark if I'm misunderstanding this. But I think one of the conditions is if you grant approval, is this going to create some secondary issue that we're going to have to then fix? Well, the cabin's been there 60 years. Leaving it there isn't going to suddenly create a problem that now we're going to need to fix. So I think we meet that condition, unless I'm interpreting wrong. The other condition is, and this is what the county is citing as the reason for approval. Is there an unusual situation that gives a logical reason to bypass the normal setback requirement? And they said yes, because it was built in 1954. Zoning wasn't in place at the time, giving a setback. So on this, so these are the, that was my interpretation of what this is saying. So here we are. I'm almost done. The county gives a condition of approval that is so right. Totally agree. That if this is approved, this 8.8 foot setback, that we can never do it again. Obviously, we're never going to do this again. Totally accept this. And I think this is relevant. So here you see the way it started and where it is now. And what we would have to tear down if we don't get approval. But I think this is relevant. The Board of County Commissioners passed what they called the El Paso County Strategic Plan. Maybe you've heard of this. But they give their vision on page 10. And I think this is relevant because it's kind of the overreaching principles by which the county wants to function. And the first one is, and I'll try to highlight this quickly. They want to provide excellent citizen services. And that's saying put the citizen ahead of regulations. Rigid interpretation of regulations or citizen needs. I think that's relevant. And it says reflect community values. And I think protecting private property rights is a very important value. Regulations are our right to use our property wisely. And then vibrant regional economy. It just seems more in line of protecting what we've built than requiring that it be destroyed, demolished. So I thank you for getting to present our side. And we were driving up thanking, just grateful that we have a government that doesn't overrun us, but gives us an opportunity to present our side. And then you are entrepreneurs. I believe you're builders. That's why you're here. You're people that make things happen. So I think you could understand how devastating it would be to us if we have to tear this down. Thank you. Great attention.
Any board members have any questions for Ms. Magistrelli? Seeing none, thank you. Before I move to the public testimony part, we've been here about an hour. I'd like to take a break, and I'm going to take about 15 minutes. That's a little longer than I normally would, but that will allow us an opportunity to review the materials that have been presented here and any that the staff may have found relative to the site development agreement and conditions and those sorts of things. So with that, we'll take a break for 15 minutes. And
And we'll proceed, and we've heard from the petitioner. Board members had no questions for petitioner at this time. I see no one, but I'm going to ask just for the record, is anyone in the audience who wishes to speak in favor of this application? And anyone against? And seeing none, did you have any, ask the petitioner if she has any final comments to make before the board begins discussion? Yes, please.
One thing I think is relevant, the neighbor that sent the letter, the husband had come up at least three times to thank us for clearing up the eyesore in the neighborhood and to compliment us on the work we'd done in the cabin. So I'm not sure where his wife was so concerned, but we are grateful that David Vaith saw the improvement in the neighborhood and has come several times to thank us.
Thank you. Any questions? And before we move to the next board discussion, I'd like to invite staff up. Before the break, we had asked that they take a look at any issues relative to the site plan and any conditions that might be on there or any notations that might be on there that we haven't already discussed, and had also asked about the 50%. That part is now moot, but I would like to get staff to talk anything about the site plan that may be relevant for us.
Well, as you mentioned, the 50% is now moot. I have the site plan for ADD 16400. That's the interior remodel, and it has the approval with the condition on it that we have already gone over, that was written and transcribed, and Tracy wrote it, and we all saw that. So that's essentially all I have for that. So I'll hand this in for the record.
Any questions of Scandal? The chair has one. So it's an approval for an interior remodel. Are there also exterior renovations going on here?
It's for an addition, I think. ADD is a, they were doing, I think, exterior cleaning up.
And so it's exterior and interior.
Yeah. Okay. As we mentioned, the 50% was part of that, to clean up the whole structure. So.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you. Is there any discussion by the board members? Do you have any discussion or thoughts that you'd like to bring up? Mr. Thurber.
So I guess maybe I'm a little confused. So we said the 50% is moot, right. But how did I guess I'm not familiar enough with the process. If it's not legal, non-conforming, how does a permit get issued?
Can staff come up for that, please?
So that's where it gets fairly tricky, because it was the single family residence is an allowed use in that zone. So they were allowed one residence. And it was approved for them to rebuild and restore it up to 50% as then.
I guess, but if it wasn't legal non-conforming at that point, it wouldn't have met a variance at that point, right? I'm trying to understand, if it wasn't, at that point, I guess it should have been deemed that it wasn't meeting the requirement of legal non-conforming.
Correct. Laura, do you have anything on this?
I don't know that I can answer that. I could suggest that perhaps staff made an error, or that perhaps they don't review that when they're looking at a site plan. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, let me ask you then this. If right now it was not, we're saying it's not meeting the legal non-conforming, can they get a permit?
To add on to it?
Or interior remodel for 50%. I mean, right now, with the way the permit's read, it was under the interpretation that it was meeting the legal non-conforming, because it's saying to the 50% rule, right? I guess I'm trying to understand
Right.
Did we have a change of position?
I interpreted it this way. I came into this project very beginning, a little bit halfway through, because Nina couldn't do this hearing. That one of the cabins would be allowed as a legal nonconformity as a single-family residence, with the condition that it could not be improved past 50%. Now that it's been improved past 50%, that's why it's no longer legal nonconforming.
But then we were talking about it's a setback issue. So I guess I'm trying to decide what grounds are we evaluating this?
Sure, and I would request, if senior staff has anything to add, Mr. Gebhardt or Mr. Rebner, as to what sort of review process, what is looked at when you have a site plan in front of you. I understand your question. I think it's a valid question. If this is not a legal nonconforming use, why was a site plan approved? Is that the essence of your question?
That's the question, yeah.
We'll see if I can confuse it a little further. We're mixing in part. I think you've heard today, and I didn't hear the whole presentation, there's multiple pieces to the overall puzzle the applicant wants to have. Three cabins were on the property. That's a legal nonconforming use. Use is the key point there. One dwelling allowed. The difference here is we're talking, I believe, the location of a structure. That's a non-conforming location or structure, not the use of three cabins on the property. And that was what I believe was allowed to be rebuilt, was the non-conforming distance for that one structure at that location, rather than the three cabins being the use. So the structure, the three cabins lost their non-conformity by abandonment. The structure, then the language I think is in your staff report, then the structure in part says the restoration and reconstruction had to be done within 1 year or 2 years of the event. And so that decision point, whether we may have approved that remodel at that location to keep it to the exact same size, staff may have not considered that properly. I don't know. I wasn't a part in those discussions.
Mr. Innerman?
Would this have anything to do with it being grandfathered in, being set back only 8.8 feet?
That's what it all has to do.
And then with the 50% statement that was possibly misunderstood.
You can continue to use that same wall that's at that distance.
Yep.
I believe that's the way staff approached it.
Mr. Thurber, anything further?
So I guess right now we're looking at the setback, but if I'm understanding this, if there was a mistake made, that's fine. We make mistakes. But we would have granted a permit for them to continue construction, and then they have to get approval to do that at that location?
I don't have all the details of this. Maybe Mike Rebinar does, but I wasn't involved in some of those discussions. But there was an early assistance meeting with us, our staff, and the applicant, and the applicant wanted to do some other things on the property. And we said, to do this, you have to do this, and to do that, you have to do this, and go ahead and legalize this, i.e., the cabin in question first before you can take those other steps to go forward. Is that correct? I believe the applicant's saying that.
Okay, and one other question in regard to the 50% rule. So this cabin was originally 1954. How does that impact, because from the pictures it's dilapidated to the point that just to bring it to current code and by pulling that kind of permit is going to make you pull it to current code, how does that impact with the 50% of value?
Well, its value before improvement was pretty low, and its value after improvement, it'd be pretty hard not to exceed 50% of that value.
Well, I guess that's what I'm trying to understand. In that ruling, you're kind of in between two entities there fighting. because RBD is not going to allow you to just fix it to 1954 code.
Right.
So you, in theory, you might be able to remodel it to what that would have been at 50% of value, but certainly not to 20 or 2009 code.
And what I presume happened is the staff said, yes, we'll approve this remodel. We don't know how much your value, we don't know how much your remodel costs, but we can only approve it to the extent it's 50% of that value. And now we find at the time it's greater than that number.
Mr. Carlson?
Going into all this detail seems beyond the scope of this board right now. Haven't we been directed by our legal staff to just consider the setback today? Yes?
Correct. And so the 50% discussion is moot. It does not apply to what we're doing here today anymore.
It explains why we're here.
Asking, you know, about historical rationale and where we are today for that context makes sense. But as applies to our decision today, the 50% is moot. But so what we're looking at right now then, just to be clear, is the building that has been variously referred to as Building 1 or Cabin C, both the same thing, is being restored as a single family or a single residence on the property, allowed use. And what we're being asked to do is to approve a variance to the setback for right. that of allowed use. Is that an accurate assessment?
Correct. It was triggered by that 50% discussion
okay.
previously.
Chairman.
Mr. Carlson.
So just my overall thoughts on this is I would be inclined to approve it for the reasons stated several times, is that it's been there for 60 years. It's there are no neighbors anywhere nearby that it's affecting or has affected. It's right next door to the adjacent to the Forest Service, and none of that land can be purchased. I just don't see any effect on anyone for doing this, so I'd be in favor of it.
Anyone else? Comments? Thoughts? All right, with that, we'll deem the board discussion closed, and the chairman will entertain a motion. Mr. Carlson, would you like to make a motion?
Yeah, I would move that we approve, what's the number?
Number four. Here you go.
17.
No, the BOA. Yeah, item number four.
Two.
Yeah, I'm sorry. BOA 17-002, using standard resolution number one, where the applicant has requested a variance to the rear yard setback of 8.8 feet, where 25 feet is required. Using the standard findings under paragraph 3 in that section, strict application of applicable provisions of the Land Development Code would result in peculiar and exceptional practical difficulties to an exceptional and undue hardship upon the owner of the property due to the exceptional situation of the subject property. That being that this property has been in this location for over 60 years and hasn't doesn't affect other property owners, and I would also note item number 5 there, that the variance will not cause a substantial detriment to the public good.
So we have a motion by Mr. Carlson on item number 4, file BOA 17002, rear yard setback dimensional variance for the magistrally cabins, for approval in accordance with resolution number 3, and with one condition, I assume, as part of your motion.
Yes.
And do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Thurber is a second. With that, is there any discussion on the motion? So we have a motion made and seconded for item 4, BOA 17002, rear yard setback dimensional variance, magistrally cabins, for approval in accordance with standard resolution number 3, citing unique conditions, and that the variance will not cause a substantial detriment to the public good. Chair will now call a vote. Mr. Intermill?
Yes.
Mr. Shonas?
Aye.
Mr. Carlson?
Aye.
Mr. Thurber?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye, and the motion and petitioner's application is approved unanimously 5-0. Although, call that item closed. Does staff have any final comments for following meetings or any other additional comments from staff? Seeing none, we'll deem this meeting closed and thank everyone for their attendance.